Hi, I'm Eric De La Rosa, and thank you for listening to the Wright Brothers Podcast. You can find us at stingerehs.com or at stingerehs on both Instagram and Twitter. You can also be sure to find us on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jacob Walsko, and on our very first episode, we had the pleasure of talking with members of Emmaus' very own Spiders Dressed in Reds, Nate Garcia and Dylan Michael. The group is releasing their sophomore EP, Laughing, the follow-up 2018 self-titled on April 17th. Listen as the five of us discuss the band's process in putting together the project, meaning behind certain songs, and just connecting through music. Also, be sure to check out the Spiders Dressed in Red on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Wright Brothers Podcast. Today, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jacob Welsko and Eric De La Rosa, along with Nate Garcia and Dylan Michael of the band Spiders Dressed in Red. Dylan, would you like to tell us a little bit about your new album?
The new album, it's called Laughing, 6 tracks, nice and melodic. Nate, what would you say about it? Okay, tight.
Nice.
Yeah, it's something we've worked a long time on. Excited for people to hear it.
Dylan, I want to ask you, why EPs, you know?
That's a really good question. It's because, one, we're not good enough to make more than 6 songs. If we decided to make a 12-song album, I think it'd take about 2 years. But that'll probably what we do. Well, just because we're slow-paced. We're not very urgent. So that'll probably what we do next. But
right.
As of now, we stuck with 6 songs at a clack.
Yeah, and I also wanted to ask, when did you start working on this project?
Probably like this time last year, like early April.
All right.
Wow. So it'll be a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
So obviously, this album, at least in my opinion, it's a lot different than your previous album.
True.
What sort of led you to make those creative changes in this album, or did those kind of just come about naturally without you really thinking about it?
Nate, do you want to start this one? I want to answer all of them for you. Is Nate even here?
Where is Nate, bro?
Dude, did this man leave?
Well, I don't mind talking.
So Nate. This album, clearly, the sound, you know, the overall progression is significantly different than your previous album, at least in my opinion. So what led you to make those creative changes, and did those come about naturally, or was it a deliberate decision?
Well, originally, a lot of these songs, like, or one or two of these songs, we were thinking of, I think, having on the earlier album, or it was more like one of the songs from the last one was going to be on this one,
right?
And then we made the creative decision for the last one to make it make everything sound more cohesive and like with more electric guitar, drums, bass, everything kind of straightforward. But this one, I think we had a bunch of songs that were lend themselves more to like more intricate production and like instrument arrangements that sounded good with acoustic guitar. And so this is more of our acoustic pop album rather than rock, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot more stripped back, I felt like, when I listened to it.
It's stripped back, but it's like still super.
It's more crisp. I think it's more crisp than the last EP, but it's more stripped back at the same time.
Yeah, I would say it was like a deliberate decision just to try to make something production-wise that was more, I guess, listenable, because sometimes on the last release it could be kind of hard, at least for me, to re-listen to it.
It was
like a deliberate decision to do something that to kind of deliberately progress from what we've already done, not to repeat ourselves, and to try something new in terms of songwriting and production.
The music is awesome. I think it really sounds just very catchy.
I appreciate it.
Very easy to listen to.
There you go.
Dumbed down.
Yeah.
So you guys said it took you about a year to make these 6 songs, which if I did the math correctly is about a song every 2 months. So what
Oh
my God, what is the writing process like for these songs?
You have to keep in mind that's that's like I would say probably half of that we had them all done, and they were
We probably had the EP like 90% done since like
Christmas.
September. And then it's just like us dragging our feet, like finishing up, like, or like having like people come in, like Aiden Conley does the trumpet, and like having him come in for like last minute, like overdubs and stuff like that. So really, like, the majority of it has been done for a really long time.
We've been sitting
finishing touches.
More or less finishing touches.
Right. So what drew you guys to make that decision with having Aiden with the trumpet?
Aiden's a beast. I love him. I've been good friends with Aiden for a really long time. And last we had a song called Broken English on the last EP that he is featured on, and we decided that was a really fun way to record. That ended up working out really well, so we figured if we pursued that sound more, it'd be beneficial. Plus he's so fun to work with. He's so good. I love him.
Nice.
A lot of these songs lend themselves nicely to having arranged instruments like that. Like, we also have saxophone and viola and some.
Yeah, that's right. Wasn't Martin on the saxophone?
Martin Lou.
Shout out Martin Lou.
So how do you guys
Green Kids.
I mean, I don't really know what, you know, the what goes into the managing of a band, but obviously these guys are being featured. Are they now some sort of like semi members of Spiders Dressed in Red, or are we going to see these guys recurring?
Aiden will probably be a recurring figure. I love working with them. I would just say they're featured members for the time.
A good way to think about it, I would say that we use them in a way like studio musicians, like session musicians.
Yeah, pretty much.
Session guys. Gotcha.
Like, we ask them to work on it to do the things that we can't do.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Cool.
Now, one of my favorite songs on this EP is Mask. Now, it's only 49 seconds, but I think it's really great.
That's great to hear.
And I just wanted to know what kind of went into making that song, especially at the end of it. There's like the like ocean sounds. I want to know just like everything about it. What went into that song?
So that song's actually really old. I made that song the song itself was written maybe in like ninth grade, like the melody. And it that's really actually where the album title came from, or the EP title came from. The original title for that was called And I Was the Only One Laughing, which is another story. It doesn't really matter, but we figured it'd be a fitting like instrumental transitionary piece, especially into salt water. So when we figured that it'd be good to put on the album, we just made it really like an afternoon, maybe like 2 hours, fun to make. And then I edited in the sound effects with the ocean and seagulls afterwards to make it seg into saltwater pretty nice. Well.
So, I mean, going back to what you were saying about the original inspiration for this, is there sort of a deeper meaning behind the title Laughing?
Yeah, I would say so. Nate, what do you think of that?
I would say that all of our songs, all the songs on this specific release, Dylan and I, in a way, kind of wrote separately. And then, well, I would say other than White Bread. But these songs are, I would say, inherently really personal, like the themes of the songs, rather than our last one, for sure. And there's a lot of themes of, like, memory and nostalgia and moments of laughing and moments of sadness, I would say.
Yeah. So how does that,
and to piggyback on that, like, for me, laughing has like a duality to it, to the point where like obviously laughing can be like positive, but also laughing is like a defense mechanism for me. So like it kind of plays on the idea of like happy and sad, like happening concurrently.
Right. Yeah.
You guys write your lyrics first and then put it to music, or do you write the music first and then put your lyrics to the music?
lyrics are typically last, but also most important. Right.
Yeah.
Not most important, but
the music is what draws you in, but the lyrics is what keeps you coming back, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Write that down.
So like,
write that down.
So like, would you say that, I mean, I don't know, the more personal connection you guys have with this music, did that play well with the more like melodious, like sort of, yeah. Did that play well with the fact that this album in general is a much more harmonious, melodious sort of piece? Or do you think that like you're connecting your personal experiences would have worked better with something like the previous album?
I think like the songs sound kind of happy, I guess. At least some of them do. Like say like the ones I've written, like White Bread sounds happy, but the lyrics kind of come from like a bittersweet side. So maybe it does serve kind of as a juxtaposition, but I don't know if that was like any deliberate thing that I kind of went into writing it. It's just kind of how it happened.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Nate?
I think for the production, that's something that kind of came as we were doing it, rather than we wanted to make something super with a lot of bells and whistles, because those songs, like as personal and like, I guess, nostalgic as they are, they can lend themselves really nicely to strip back acoustic or the really produced like pop sound that we went with this album.
Gotcha. So does like the sort of like, would you say the fact that you guys are in your senior year and with all this stuff going on, does that kind of add to the fact that this album is sort of a nostalgic, bittersweet piece?
I guess now it does, looking back.
I would just say, yeah, probably just maybe not the idea senior year, just the fact that like I'm like not really that much of like a child anymore. I'd say I'm still a kid, but like I'm kind of exiting childhood, so like that brought to me like a lot of reflective time for me in my life, where I really like took stock of what's happened to me and how that's going to affect me as I keep growing.
Gotcha.
Oh, what song on this album did you have the most fun working on?
I don't know. Sore Loser was really fun, but it was very tedious. All of the songs that we record are so tedious, especially since
we love making music, but by the end of it, we hate every single song. Like how many times I've listened to it, like mixing and just like the fine tuning. Yeah. It's such a pain. But
I wouldn't want any other pain, though, you know?
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's a labor of love. Sore Loser was so fun to make. That was, like, the first song that, like, really came together before our eyes. Like, it felt like I didn't even make it. I felt like I watched it assemble.
Did you?
And, like, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Steve. I also like the solo in Saltwater, like the last like 3 minutes in Saltwater. That was really fun to see, like finally come into like reality after I've had like I don't know. It's hard to express, but like the idea of like having all of these different sounds finally come together after I've like spent so much time
planning.
Yeah, yeah.
That was really gratifying.
Talking about like having things come together, songs like Sore Loser and Valentine's Bought Your Lover, which two songs that I wrote, those have been around since like 2017, and to finally have those fully like done, it's crazy.
Yeah. So did you guys take like if you were to say like three albums or three musicians that you guys would have taken inspiration from, who are your top three as far as this album?
Yeah, goes? Wait. Actually, before you answer that, I was going to ask, Nate, I know you and me have talked before, and we both agree that Rubber Soul is our favorite Beatles album.
Yeah.
And I know
that's cute, Eric.
Maybe not so much with this album, but your first one, I could definitely really see like a Beatles influence in it. So I was just wondering.
I see it more with this album, actually.
I would say this album is probably our most Beatly, but
I think white
just because of pop elements in it.
White Bread really sounded like a Beatles song to me. Like
White Bread opened up.
Chorus heavy song for sure.
Yeah, White Bread opened up with that drum line. That sounded like something from the Allman Brothers, to be honest.
Oh wow!
I swear,
really?
I heard that's cool. And that's immediately what I thought was that this is like Ramblin' Man.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's tight.
Cool.
What was the question? I'm talking about. Well, I can talk about the Beatles forever, dude. Like the Beatles. That's number one. Beatles are God. Like I've learned pretty much everything from the Beatles.
Yeah.
Don't say that around Scoop. He thinks they're overrated.
I do, and I will stand by that opinion, dude, despite the fact I know I'm outnumbered in this podcast.
I also, Scoop, I think the Beatles are underrated.
Ooh. Underrated?
But,
hot take. Dude, Nate, I don't think Nate disagrees.
Well, I think the Beatles are underrated. Because there's a lot of things that you can listen to from the Beatles that you're just like this is cutting edge still. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think
it like as musicians, I think they're
Quincy Jones said,
but that, they're the worst. I think that's the one thing that I
Quincy Jones is not the Beatles.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about that makes sense. Yellow Submarine or anything. I'm talking about like she said.
She said.
I think, exactly.
Beatles,
album more obscure songs are better than their hits, and that's why they're not overrated.
No doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I mean, and you know what? I think that the fact that I'm not a musician and I don't really have, which I wish I was, and I wish I had that background, probably leads me to not really notice all the intricacies in that music. I mean, I definitely think that they moved forward like rock as a genre, but I don't know. I feel like maybe it's just because all my exposure has just been to the stuff that you guys seem to sort of just dismiss, like the most popular stuff. So
like,
I don't know.
Just the idea of the bass guitar not only being supporting but being like a counterpoint is very
that I give them
cool.
So good.
That's awesome.
So good.
Like I would say the bass on this album is super counterpoint. I would say, well, Dylan plays bass. I can't speak for Dylan, but I would say very inspired from that type of serving the song with bass.
Right.
Idea.
Yeah. Like instead of just being like acting almost as like another lead instrument.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, we were talking about top three, right?
Like So top three influences, you know, artist or album.
Well, for this specifically, I really like punk music, but that didn't really inform this that much. So there's this one band that's one of my favorites currently called King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard, and they have an all acoustic album called Paper Mache Dream Balloon that was kind of like the inception of the idea of like an acoustic poppy album for me. Otherwise, I'd say like Ram by Paul McCartney, Father John Misty, Paul Simon. Other than that, I think those are like the main ones. How about you?
Yeah, I would definitely say Chateau Lobby by John Misty, the Chateau Lobby number 4. I don't know.
Yeah, it's number 4.
Yeah, so good. But the way that that song's, I guess, sonically, it's very full, very layered. Just a lot of bells and whistles on that. And yeah, Paper Mache Dream Balloon for sure.
Also, Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
Pink Floyd's Metal was huge for me.
Gotcha. So, yeah, you can go ahead, Eric.
You can go. Nah, Phil, it's okay. You can go.
I asked like too many questions. Go ahead.
All right. So I could tell right away that the album cover was drawn by Mr. Nick
Actually,
Garcia.
Dylan really? That. No, I'm just kidding.
Really? What?
I drew it with my left hand.
No Take way.
Note, I'm a righty. I drew it with my left hand because I thought it'd be more of a challenge.
So I guess it was just like, I guess the album cover has something that ties into the themes of mask and laughing. So I guess if you just wanted to like go over that and explain it.
Sure. So back to what Dylan was saying about laughing as a defense mechanism, it's super easy for a lot of people to put on a mask in a certain way with dealing with social situations and like in general life as a whole, I would say. And so Dylan could probably speak more on the idea of mask. Dylan's always liked the ideas of mask, yeah, for sure.
Just the idea, like, we, like I was saying, I really like punk music, and like this was more of like almost like a detour from our musical interest. Not that we don't like, I love melodic music so much, like it's, but it's not really what I really feel like is my end goal with like music production. So even the idea of like this release in of itself being like a mask for the band, the idea of it being something different than our true intention. Right. That's how I see it mostly.
I don't know. Yeah. I think that's a good way to describe it. Cause this is definitely, I would call it a detour for sure.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, this is too far in advance, but with, you know, the pop sort of feel of this album, what do you guys think is next for the next project? Whenever that is.
Me and Nate, yeah, we're still like, we have right, a lot right. written for the next yeah. release. We have, I would just say more, a lot faster, but still melodic.
Yeah, always melodic.
Melodic punk Ooh. Music, maybe.
Ooh. That sounds cool, know. Dylan.
I think
melodic sex
maybe pistols. A symphony or two.
Yeah, the way I would say it, we definitely want to focus more on the dynamic between drums and guitar working together in kind of a live setting.
Oh, nice.
As far as recording them, not like recording them at a concert, that's not what I mean, but
right.
Instead of overdubbing everything, we'd like to see what we can do
together.
Yeah.
Live
at the same exact time.
I like that. So how are you guys dealing with, you know, obviously the quarantine and I mean going off to college
the
next
what?
Year? The what? Huh? Huh?
I just woke up from a coma since November. What's going on?
Oh God. Yeah. So like, how are you guys like moving forward with this and, you know, going to college? Is there going to be a release before the end of the summer, or is that going to, you know, vary based upon the circumstances?
Yeah. I hope there's something released by the end of summer. Cause yeah, we have like, I don't know. We just have a lot of ideas, but I just don't know how easy it'll be follow through. But during quarantine, me and Nate, like I've been recording a lot just like for fun. So
that's awesome.
Who knows what will happen? Not much.
I would say Dylan and I have been using our time to make things separately for sure. Cause Dylan and I both have means to record from our own, homes. So whether it's together or separately, I think there'll probably be something before, by summer, I would say maybe.
Yeah. I've been recording a lot of stuff, so
got you.
I have a personal goal to release something by May, but I don't know. I'm not.
You can just pretend it's
by there. You go. Red. Nice.
Yeah. Close your eyes and don't think about it.
Exactly.
What's the biggest disagreement you guys have had in terms?
Oh, that's a spicy question.
Wow. Well, actually, I'm the real drummer.
That's a good question. So. I don't know. We're usually pretty much on the same page. And even when I don't know the last time me and Nate fought.
Yeah. Like this wouldn't be like a two-person long-term thing if we were always disagreeing, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're never like, I don't know. It's never like self-serving. It's always to like make the song better. So if we disagree.
Yeah, it's always for the song. I would say it's two extensions of the same goal, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The only time I really get mad at Nate is when we're recording vocals, but that's just because recording vocals in any situation sucks.
Yeah. It's tedious and it's hard to... I would compare it to like people that are like trying to do acting. Like you just have to... It's hard to stay in the emotional like fence without... getting tired, you know.
Do you guys record?
Yeah, it's hard to make. Convincing.
Do you guys record line by line, or do you just go straight through with the song with vocals?
We do both. A lot of time we'll get like a basic track down, and then we'll punch in some.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's like they'll do it all in one take and keep that one take. Like it's all acted together.
it's incredible when people do yeah. that, though. Like, that's so impressive to me.
Gotcha. Eric, Jacob, any more questions?
I guess we can get into this if you guys want.
Uh-oh. So. We're talking
getting
Trump?
Into it now.
I've heard through the grapevine that there was some drama with other members who were or were not
what?
In the band. So, I don't know if you guys want to touch into that.
We used to play with one of my really good friends, Miguel Abadia, and then we kicked him out.
That's as far as the drama went.
Me and Miguel, yeah, me and Miguel are still like really good friends. I just talked to Miguel today, so.
Oh, okay.
That's there you go.
There you go. That's
first
a scoop on that.
Account.
Yeah, that's
talk to him today.
Yeah, there's no ground beef at all.
No ground beef.
Not at all.
Just plain steak.
Oh yeah, just plain steak. For sure.
Do you guys think from the last album, the last EP to this one, do you think you've matured more in, you know, musically or lyrically in writing?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I think I'd probably say lyrically. Like personally, I've probably matured more than anything, and that's affected
right.
the lyrics, which is like kind of like a direct extension mm-hmm. of myself, if that makes sense, of like where I am when I write them. So probably
super
lyrically.
Interesting because a lot of those songs, like I was saying, are coming from an older place.
Yeah,
but they're revisited now. And brought new life. So in a way, that process is maturing the songs just
gotcha.
Inherently because it's with, you know, a new eyes from whenever they were written.
Yeah,
I at least I could speak that from my songs on the album. But yeah,
gotcha.
Do you guys see music or even Spiders Dressed in Red as something that you can make a career out of one day, or is it just a hobby in your minds?
I think I'm gonna quit.
Yeah, I just got a job at Yakko's, so honestly, I feel like
dude,
I don't feel
set.
Like I can do this anymore.
Yeah, this is just to make ends meet. No, if I can make a career out of it, regardless, it's always gonna be something. I'm always gonna
that's
be
awesome.
Making.
Yeah, that's
so.
The thing. It's
whether it's a career.
Like we're doing
or not,
it now, and we couldn't
whatever.
Care less if there's money involved. You know, it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're pretty much losing money on it. Not that it's expensive, but
yeah.
like
how much time?
Like hiring, yeah, or just like mastering and like paying like distribution services to be on Spotify
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Yeah, like it'll be something that I'll be doing, and I don't like I don't need anybody to make sure that I'm doing it. Like it'll just be something I just like.
You,
yeah.
yeah, you have enough yeah. of a drive to do it.
So this album will be dropping on
April 17th.
Apple and Spotify, April 17th?
Yeah.
Fire.
Is this going to be cross-platform, or is it just going to be on Spotify at first?
Yeah,
you
it'll
can
be
find
anywhere.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Title.
Best Buy, Barnes & Noble.
Oh, man.
Walmart.
All right, so, so
Walmart
closing clearance. Thought. Closing thought. Obviously, this album is coming from a place of nostalgia, a place of, you know, leaving behind your childhood. So, what's one memory that you guys will hold with you for a while from your childhood going into college? What's one thing that you are going to maybe miss most or going to have the most fondest memories about?
Honestly, birth. That was great.
I don't know. Just like a lot of my fondest memories in general do have to do with music. So I guess just playing with the band. Maybe.
Gotcha.
Wow. I'll miss that most.
Yeah. Nate, other than birth?
Walking to Dylan's house in, whenever I was 12 with my guitar, bringing it to Dylan's house, realizing that you could play guitar
yeah.
and drums at the same time. Pretty awesome.
Dude,
that's goals.
That is crazy. Oh, man. Well, all right, guys. This has been great.
Thank you.
New album dropping April
Thank
17th.
You.
Cross platform, check it out. It's been a pleasure having you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm flattered you
yeah.
questions, you know. I appreciate it.
No, thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
EP
it's been
fun. Is
right.
fire. EP is fun.
Eric
yeah,
Jacob
course.
Scoop. Yes. We thank you from the bottom of our souls, of our shoes.
Love you,
you guys
boys.
Are the best. All right. This has been the Wright Brothers Podcast, episode 1, out.